You're going to get sick of seeing me today. How many people have ever really thought about their testimony? I know a lot of you guys have done it, you know, hear it, and we appreciate what you've shared, but I'm not sure I've ever done that. And it was a struggle to think about it, think about where I was when God saved me, and what's happened since then. I have spent several hours, I only have 5 minutes, Kevin, spent several hours writing these accounts down, and I, this morning as I finished up, I was reading over and trying to, you know, condense it down, and I looked at the clock, and it said like 4:55, and so I went through, and I thought, this is what I need to do, this is what I need to say, when I got done, it was like 5:30. And I went, it's not going to work. It's a little bit too long. So anyway, it's hard to know where to start, you know. So you start with I started when I was born. Against the advice of my wife, I just, you know, I was born in California. That's what's wrong with me. So. I've been told that my parents were saved in California. They went to a community church there, and when I was four, we left California, and we moved to Florida. My dad was a postman, and he moved around trying to get close to his family. So we lived in Florida for a couple, 3 or 4 years. My two younger sisters that were here today, they were born there. And then my younger brother was born. In 1966, we moved here to the Nashville area, actually in Madison, to a little area called Madison, which is now known as Rivergate Mall. Of course, none of that was there then. As I thought about, you know, life before I was saved, I thought about how God preserved me. And, you know, you don't think about God preserving you until after you were saved. But when you think about your life and where you were as a child, as a 6, 7, 8-year-old, and you think about the circumstances that you were living in and what you could have become involved in, then you're thankful and you know that God protected you and looked out for you and took care of you. I always thought it would be really cool to have a exciting testimony. I've got really good friends, close friends, who went through the whole drug experience. I've got really close friend who went to prison and was converted in prison. And I thought, you know, it'd be cool to have a testimony like that, to be able to share with people. But, you know, I struggled with that for years. And then I just rested on the Christ died once for all. I think we've already heard that a couple times today. He died once for all. Not for just the troublemakers, not for just the ones that, you know, that really needed it. Because you know what? We all really, really needed it. As my parents moved around, and as you can tell, as I'm getting older, I got grandkids, I've become very sappy. And I apologize. I was going to try to have some composure, but there's no way I can do that. So as they moved around, my parents got away from the Lord. And whether it's the hustle and bustle of moving from one end of the country to the other end of the country, you know, 3 or 4 times, you know, within a 5 or 6 year period. And they just kind of drifted. Of course, us as kids, we didn't really know any better. My dad, my dad went home to be with the Lord in 2004. He was a great man. Many of you knew him. He was the most humble man that I've ever known. So during that time when they were, you know, drifting to and fro, my dad loved gospel music. And he had this big old long stereo that was as long as that piano. And even during that those years in his life, every Sunday morning, that's what he did. He got up and he played his gospel music. And to him, that was his church. During that time, there was a church in the area where we lived that had a bus ministry. And I was about 7 or 8. And I went to church one night on that bus. They were having a revival. And I don't remember a lot what was preached that night, but I do remember there was a tug. And I do remember that's when I became aware that I was a sinner and that there was nothing I could do to do anything about it but to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. So I did that night, and I can't tell you to this day what day it was, or really how old I was. I think I was about 8. Could have been 9. I'm not real sure. And that leads to another whole subject. There was some times where I doubted my salvation. Right after I was saved, we used to spend summers with my grandmother after my grandfather died in 1971. And there was a couple times during that time that I kind of began to doubt my salvation. We were at church one night, and this girl had a big, huge Bible. It was that thick. And she had a date written on the binder of it. And it was July 28, 1971, whatever it was. And I said, what's that date? She said, that's the day I was saved. And I began to think about it. You know, I don't really know what day I was saved. So it was a struggle for me. Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the redemption of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace, which he lavishes. He lavishes on us with all wisdom and understanding. And I began to hold on to that, that verse, and it helped me through those doubtful times. And then when my parents came back to the Lord and we started going to for lack of a better term, a charismatic church, I had another incident with doubting salvation, because they used to run and jump and scream and holler, and I never felt that. And I thought, why am I not feeling like I want to jump that pew right now? And it was a time of doubt. But your salvation is inside. It's not a feeling. It's not, you know, like I began to think, okay, once that service is over, we all go back home. And I knew how that pastor, that church, treated his family very disrespectfully and treated his kids harshly. That's the way he lived during the week. But that was the kind of church where they didn't encourage you to study the Bible. You listened to what the preacher said. If you didn't like it, that was the door. And it was more than once he said that. And if you threatened him by studying your word, the word for your own self, then you were a troublemaker. And I was still young, in my early teens, and my dad began to study the word. And he realized that there was some things that this guy was preaching that just wasn't right. Well, as I mentioned, Dad was a mail carrier, and he faithfully listened to two guys on the radio every day. One of them, J. Vernon McGee. Most of you know who he is. He does a 5-year study through the Bible, cover to cover, every verse. It takes him 5 years. I've listened to it a couple times, not always. I'll, you know, pick him up every now and then. Faithfully listen to J. Vernon McGee and John Phelan. John Phelan had a little short radio program that Daddy listened to. So when everything blew up there where we was going to that happy church, we began to go to South, the West Side Chapel, and the rest is history. I'm amazed how God has placed in my life so many times godly men for reasons I don't know, other than to look at somebody and to say that, you know, that guy's got something. He lives like I want to live. And there are many names, many, many names. There's, you know, John Phelan is one. Dave King. Phil Moore used to be an elder here. He's gone to be with the Lord. George Martin, gone to be with the Lord. Tom DeGroat, gone to be with the Lord. I'm looking forward to seeing these guys again. 1975, while taking my best friend home from school. I ain't gonna make it. I saw his sister for the first time. And this is no joke. No joke. You've heard this term before, love at first sight. I'm telling you it was. I was 16, she was 14. And I have no idea why God blessed me with this woman. But he did. And we celebrated 40 years last October. And she's the best thing that ever happened to me. She makes me want to be a better man. Just like the names of these guys that I read a minute ago make me want to be a better believer. After we were married, I was in the Navy. We became, my dad found in the assembly handbook, Southside Bible Chapel, and that's where we met Larry Price and his family, and we're still great friends with him. Mike Lester was there, and after over 40 years, we're still dear, dear friends. Anyway, I need to wrap it up here, Kevin. 1 Peter 2:21 says, because Jesus suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow his steps. He committed no sin. No deceit was found in his mouth. So young people, if you're looking for an example to follow, it's right here, Jesus Christ. He is the best example of how to live today, just like he was over 2,000 years ago.